The Prime Minister's former chief science advisor says that rapid contact tracing is now critical to the success of fighting COVID-19. The government has broadened its testing criteria for the virus, which will mean more cases will be detected. But new research from Oxford University suggests that the faster the contacts of positive cases can be notified, the greater hope of fighting the pandemic. Former chief advisor Sir Peter Gluckman joins us now. Good morning, Sir Peter.
Good morning, Colin.
Okay, let's just work through this. We've got about, last I saw, about 100 staff dedicated to contact tracing in New Zealand. They can cope with 50 cases a day. I suspect that's probably more than that now, given that was a few days ago. Is that sufficient from what you've seen in New Zealand?
Well, I'm not sure about what our capacity is. I think the issue is that the increasing amount of work is showing that a lot of the transmission, about 50% of transmission, occurs before the subject, the individual, is symptomatic. And therefore, obviously, the longer a person is wandering around, potentially spreading the virus, and obviously in lockdown, that's reduced markedly, but it still can occur when you go to the shops and so forth, the more people they are potentially going to infect. And the more people that we infect, the more likely they are to not get the pandemic under control. What's now been shown quite clearly by the Oxford group is that the most important thing and most effective thing, if you want to get out of lockdown, is to rapidly contact trace, literally within hours of a diagnosis of a new person with the disease, and work back to what contacts they've had. If we're going to get out of level four, we're going to have a mechanism of some form like this. Now, what the Oxford people are suggesting is that the kinds of apps that have been developed and used could be used to do that, making the capacity of contact tracing much greater, much faster, and therefore more likely to contain the virus without having to sustain long-term lockdown.
Okay, and we have seen apps used overseas with some success. There are issues around privacy, but there is technology which enables some Bluetooth connectivity, which remains sort of anonymous. But how would you get around those issues? What are you seeing that could work?
Well, number one is the Privacy Commissioner has already stated that these kinds of technologies are acceptable in the New Zealand context from the rights perspective. Secondly, there are a large number of commentaries now on how you use these apps by maintaining absolute privacy, and the way that it's been done in, for instance, in South Korea, doesn't involve actually, it involves blasting those people back to say they are a contact, therefore self-quarantine. So again, while we're living with this high trust model, that we all agree is the best way of proceeding, one needs to only inform and ask people who have been contacts to go into quarantine, to self-isolation,
okay,
and then be followed up. So there are many ways
to do this. But should it be that everybody in New Zealand who has a smartphone should have to download an app which has a Bluetooth connectivity, which means that if they've come into contact with somebody else who's then diagnosed with COVID-19, it would be able to trace them?
I mean, ideally it would be lovely if everybody do it, but obviously not everybody will. And again, the models show in both at the empirical data in Singapore and the modelling data from Oxford, both show that even with partial coverage by people voluntarily using these apps, one can make a major difference to the contact tracing load and the likely spread of the virus. So, yes, I think New Zealanders, by and large, are trying to do their best, and not everybody will be comfortable, but sufficient numbers will be that this kind of technology will make a huge difference.
In terms of other areas, from your perspective, looking at the scientific response and the way in which New Zealand has gone about this lockdown, are there any other areas that are concerning you?
Well, I mean, while we're in lockdown, we maintain reasonable control. Obviously, we're still getting a number of people coming across the border with the infection and going into quarantine. The concern I have, as to many is because people come in asymptomatically and still may be spreaders. There's a potential risk there. But as long as people comply with the social distancing and self-isolation, that we're keeping it under some sort of control. But we can't stay in lockdown forever, and we need to be thinking now how we move out of it in a way that maintains the advantage New Zealand has, in that we have a burden of disease which our health system can cope with. And that's what we've got to sustain. Elimination will take time, but we must have a burden of disease that we can sustain without overloading our healthcare system. And that's critical.
Just a couple of quick questions. Masks, there's some debate emerging this morning. Are you aware of any the research around whether masks, wearing them in general, and the public wearing them would be beneficial?
Well, I think that there's obviously quite an interesting debate going on in the scientific literature. WHO is expected to come out with a recommendation fairly quickly. The Asian countries have tended to wear masks, those that have got it under control, but they've done many other things getting it under control at the same time. I mean, masks have some value in reminding people of what's going on. They may also reduce the spread, particularly as weather cools, of droplets, but they also may lead people to be more complacent, and so that it's within the context of New Zealand society that it needs to also be looked at.
And just very quickly, the antiviral drugs, particularly the ones that the likes of the US have been pushing, hydroxychloroquine, what do you make of those? Is there any sign that they could be beneficial?
Well, there's theoretical reasons why a number of these drugs may be. There's preliminary claims of evidence that they may be having some effect. But I think that proper clinical trials are absolutely needed. These are not drugs without side effects, bad side effects. And furthermore, they need to be given probably early, very early in the disease to be of value, which again means you need rapid tracing and rapid diagnosis.
So Peter Gluckman, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much for your time, former Chief Science Advisor.